What you're about to hear is a news report from BBC Radio, broadcast live a few weeks ago from the Palestinian city of Gaza.
On a bus and calling it a martyrdom operation. Now, we don't think that this was a suicide bomb attack, but certainly that's what they were saying.
John, are you
that
all right?
That was one of the many airstrikes launched by Israel in Gaza City over the past few weeks in response to Palestinian rocket attacks on Israeli cities. Since that moment, the violence in the region has subsided after a ceasefire. The Palestinians made a successful bid to upgrade their UN status, and Israel announced it would start building 3,000 new settlements in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. So the situation remains as tense and volatile as ever. A model for breaking through the belligerence is taking place right here in the Bay Area, in a sleepy neighborhood in San Mateo. For the past 20 years, Len Traubman has hosted the Jewish-Palestinian Dialogue right in his living room. Every month, Bay Area Jews and Palestinians come to meet, have coffee, and listen to one another. Palestinian Elias Boto started coming over a decade ago, and he's been friends with Traubman ever since. The two men invited me to the Traubman living room to see how their dialogue works in this piece from our archives.
The present conflicted relationship in the Middle East is about 60 years old, the serious part of it. There were, in the previous decades, some. But the real history of our relationship is the better part of 1,000 years. In Spain, under Muslim rule, Jews and Christians and Muslims flowered together, and they actually seeded the whole European Renaissance and Enlightenment. And without us living together for that better part of a millennium, which is really our much greater history, the world would be very different.
Elias, do you feel that it is realistic to think that Arabs and Jews might be able to coexist in the way they did in the time of Andalusia in Spain? Is that realistic at this point?
Hannah, we don't have to go to the Andalusia time and the Granada. I'm a testament to that. I lived in Palestine under the British mandate as a Christian Palestinian with Jews and Muslims. My classmates in high school before 1947, they were Jews, Christians, and Muslims. We played together, we ate together, we cried together, we did everything together. There was no distinction. We walked the same street together. There was no discrimination, no segregation between us when it was British mandate.
So tell me a little bit about your Holy Land School project over here, where you raised equal amounts of money for a school in Ramallah, Palestine, and in Netanya, Israel. Mm-hmm. You said you got Arabs to donate mm-hmm. equally for both, and you got Jewish people to donate equally for both. What was that process like?
Oh, we learned a lot about ourselves, about each other, how we raise money differently. Jews were very organized. They wrote, they planned and wrote very nice letters with return envelopes to all of their friends. And the Palestinians do it in another amazing way.
What's that?
Elias can describe that.
Well, I don't know how to describe it. They just dig in their pockets and give you the money.
Yeah, they just have they just open their living rooms and have people come in. They have a fabulous food that goes about halfway to the ceiling, and they just walk around and ask people to get money out of their pockets.
Like
and one night they raised like $5,000 in one living room doing that, and the Jews took weeks to do it the long way.
With the self-addressed stamped envelopes.
So we both know how, and you know, it's a good example of learning from one another. And though we don't do things the same way, if the vision is shared, the outcome is good. And like war itself, the means determine the end. And if you're going to use violence, it's the predictable failure. And if you're going to begin with dialogue and get creative, it builds a predictable Middle East and global community.
Okay, let's go around over here. And you have
You have a toy camel in the living room, but it's expressing something. What is that?
Well, it has the Palestinian flag and the Israeli flag. I mean, meaning no matter where you travel, they're always together. Whether it's in the desert or whether it's in the Arabian Peninsula, they are together, the Palestinian and the Israeli flag.
And the camel has a name. Camelot. Camelot.
Oh,
that's it. That's what it looks like.
That's our Camelot.
It looks like you've become more than co-participants in a dialogue, you and Elias. This looks like friendship. So how do you see Elias, Len?
It's a little emotional. Life would be very different without Elias. And I don't know how he came into my life, but we spent a lot of time together listening to one another and reaching out to one another, having disagreements. But without Elias, I'd have nothing to say. And the fact of his vision of a shared future and his willingness to put himself on the line and take criticism even from his own people for stepping into a room and being called naive or idealistic or weak or whatever. I'm sure I don't even know half of what he hears from his own community. Probably has lost some friends because of it. I mean, this is a man with courage and a beautiful Palestinian. And all I can say is I'm really grateful.
Well, if you ask me what's in it for me, I'm much richer being in the dialogue group and being neighbors to the Traubmans. And the most important thing, it's not just being in a dialogue with the Traubmans. We do socialize together. And dialogue helped me in many, many ways in my private life, not strictly by dealing with the Jews and Palestinians. I mean, dialogue, it's something, it's applicable in our daily lives. If we could only practice it and use it, we will be better people and the world will be in a better situation the way it is.